Making Contact receives almost all of our support from listeners like you. Please log on to radioproject.org to make a tax-deductible donation and support our work. Thanks, and enjoy. Dean Baker, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
So we just heard a story of how workers at a company in Connecticut were all furloughed as a way to prevent an alternative scenario of mass layoffs. Could you talk about some other types of work sharing scenarios and how many companies and workers are already doing this type of thing right now?
Well, the basic story here is that you give companies an incentive to reduce the work week or average number of hours per worker and keep people employed rather than just lay them off and have them go on unemployment. And this is done, we have 17 states that have work share programs tied into the unemployment compensation system. But it's done on a much larger scale in several European countries. In Germany, it's been an enormous success. The unemployment rate today is actually lower than it was when their recession started, even though the recession's been more severe than the one in the U.S. And the standard package there, there's differences, but the standard package is that workers have a 20% reduction in hours. The government makes up 60% of that, paying 12% of total pay. They ask the companies to kick in 20% of the lost pay, or in other words, 4% of total pay. And then the worker ends up taking home 4% less money. So they're working 20% fewer hours. That might typically mean a four-day work week instead of a five-day work week. And they're taking home 4% less pay. So they end up not being badly hurt. In some cases, if you look at the costs, work-related costs, commuting, they may actually come out ahead in the story.
And what kind of industries are doing this type of arrangement? The companies in Connecticut were in the manufacturing industry. Is that typical? Is this cross-sector?
Disproportionately, it is done in manufacturing. And in several states, they have a requirement that it could only be done by firms that employ more than 50. And those people tend to be disproportionately manufacturing. Obviously, there are non-manufacturing firms that employ more than 50. And some manufacturing firms don't have 50 workers. But disproportionately, the bigger firms are in manufacturing. And the logic here is that you're more likely to have workers that are working on a fixed schedule, say a punch clock, and to some extent are doing sort of the same type of work. So it's harder to talk about sort of this work-sharing arrangement if you envision a smaller employer, say they have 7 or 8 workers, and they're all doing different work. It might be hard to work on an arrangement where you just cut back hours. Not to say impossible, but it might be harder to do.
And what about the unions? I'm wondering how they feel about these arrangements. Are there concerns about seniority or expectations for increased production in fewer hours of work?
There is some concern. I mean, because we've talked with some unions about this, and you know, the work share programs that are in place date back from the late 70s, and they tried to make sure that workers' rights were protected in the programs that are on the books in the 17 states that have them. But some of the unions, I know, for example, the Service Employees International Union, which is the largest single union in the country, they're very supportive of it. So I think in general, unions are open to the idea. They'd want to make sure it was implemented in such a way that it didn't interfere with union contracts. But there's no reason in principle that can't be the case. And of course, in the countries in Europe that have gone this route, they're very heavily unionized. So Germany and the Netherlands have a much higher unionization rate than the United States. So, you know, obviously their unions have been able to work with it quite successfully.
You mentioned 17 states. Why only 17? I mean, this is paying workers to stay employed instead of paying them to be unemployed. You think this would kind of be a no-brainer. How come only 17 states are participating?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, to me, it seems like a no-brainer. It seems everyone benefits. I mean, the companies, certainly, they're better situated for the expansion, having the people on staff. Workers, you know, I think in the vast majority of cases, they'd certainly rather be working shorter hours than laid off. I understand they don't all get laid off, but, you know, they all face that risk. I think, you know, inertia, having been in Washington for almost 2 decades, I think inertia is about the most powerful force in policy. And you know, you raise a new idea and people kind of scratch their head and go, well, that might be a good idea. But it really takes some pressure to change things. So I think over time, we probably will move that way. You know, when you see Germany, you know, here we have double-digit unemployment there. They have shorter work weeks and longer vacations. You'd think people would say maybe we should do things differently here. And I think over time they will, but Washington changes slowly.
And there is a federal bill encouraging work-sharing programs. What would happen if it passed? Would it be, do you think it would be the answer, or at least a big part of the answer to the current unemployment and economic problems?
Well, I should point out there are two different bills. There's one or two types of bills. One, which there's a comparable bill in both the House and Senate, basically give extra money to the 17 states that already have it to run their program and make seed money available for the other 33 states that don't have it. The other bill tries to do this as a tax credit. It was put up by John Conyers, essentially would allow businesses to take advantage of it through the federal level without going through the state unemployment system. That, I think, in principle is the more desirable way to go because it could have an effect much more quickly. The first bills that I was talking about have more support, more chance of passage, but they wouldn't accomplish as much. The second bill, if you can get through some sort of tax credit for this, could in principle have an effect very, very quickly, a big effect, I should say, very quickly.
And do you have other ideas or proposals? You probably have quite a few for solving unemployment problems in the U.S., especially long-term unemployment.
Well, we're in an extraordinary situation here. We, you know, thankfully haven't been in this situation since the Depression, but we really have to, I think, look to do things we might not otherwise do. And when you look at sort of the pockets of unemployment you have in a place like Detroit, some of the other really hard-hit areas, I think in those areas it makes sense just to have public sector jobs. And, you know, people will deride these as make-work jobs, and they may well be to a large extent, but the point is, you look at Detroit, you have somewhere around 50% youth unemployment. Those people aren't going to get jobs. So we either do something fairly drastic, or we just tell a whole generation of kids that, you know, well, you're born in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I don't think that's a reasonable solution. I mean, it wasn't their fault that they were born in Detroit when we got hit with this downturn. So I would say, at least in some areas, we certainly want to have public sector jobs to get people, give them something to do, give them a paycheck, give them a start in life. Some other things, we do have infrastructure needs. The Obama administration has made some steps that way, but I think there's a lot more. There's a big backlog of infrastructure. The concern when they put up their stimulus originally back in the winter of 2009 was we couldn't do it quickly enough. Well, better or worse, we're going to be in this for a long time. That's what all the projections show. So if we're doing infrastructure projects that aren't going to kick in until 2012, 2013, we'll probably still need the spending then. So we should address our infrastructure needs. So I'd say that should be another priority. But the long and short, I think the best way to deal with unemployment is this work share idea. Let's allow people to work fewer hours. And I think that takes care of the immediate problem. But we do have the separate issue that we have pockets of really hardcore unemployment. And then also, let's take advantage of this downturn in the sense that we've neglected infrastructure in many ways. So why not take advantage of this downturn to try to address that neglect?
Dean Baker is the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. He's also the author of Plunder and Blunder, The Rise and Fall of the Bubble Economy, and False Profits, Recovering from the Bubble Economy. Dean Baker, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure. Thanks a lot for having me on.